just get them to believe in themselves. I feel like that's the number one thing that we work on, just getting parents to really believe in themselves and know that they're capable of so much as parents, and just really take their input and see what it is that they can do here, because they have a big impact not only on their kid but also within the community.
Yeah, and when they hear you and when they learn from you, that flows into their children, right?
Yeah.
You guys are making an impact that's going to affect a whole generation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Ana Andrade. She is a Family Engagement and Community Outreach Manager at the Early Learning Programs at United Community Center. I'll get it, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Ana, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for letting me be part of this amazing project.
I appreciate that. So tell everybody, Ana, a little bit about what you do and a little bit about the school that you work for.
Yeah, of course. So I work for the United Community Center, which is an organization, nonprofit organization that embarks a lot of different services. I'm mainly focused in the early learning programs. So I do a lot of community engagement to get more resources on campus for our families. We really like to serve our families and with this wraparound program that we have. So we cover mental health services as well as physical and then academics as well. So I tend to do a lot of events and organize events with the parents' input to see how they can get involved in our program and help their child achieve their academic and personal goals. So it's kind of like that bridge between school and home. What is it that we're doing in school that we can practice and reach out in the community and at home with the parents?
Nice, nice. So just expanding on and serving the kids in an additional way and showing them what the school has, right?
That's exactly.
Amazing. So how did you get into this role?
Ooh, I've always loved working with kids. So I have a lot of siblings and I took care of them. And I started to realize in college that I really enjoyed working with kids. I started as an intern here about 9 years ago. So with the summer program, and I had so much fun that I decided to stay for my internship, and then eventually moving on with the smaller kids, I'm like, I think this is where I'm meant to be, just working with the parents. And I saw that there was like that lack of communication in all our schools between our staff and parents. So I was like, I think this is my place to be.
Yeah. And I don't think it's intentional. I don't think we as educators intentionally do that, do we?
Not at all. No, yeah. I think it's, you know, sometimes we go in and our main focus since like college, they teach you how to interact with the kids, how to work with the curriculum. And sometimes we forget that their first teachers are their parents. So at home, it's where they're learning the most too.
100%. 100%. I agree. So you said you started as an internship. So how long did it take before this position became what you're doing now?
Oh, it took a while. So this would be my first year as the manager, but I was doing counseling before this as well. So it took about 2 to 3 years of intern work that I was doing for my master's, and then eventually working with parents as a counselor, and then moving on to manager position too.
So you have a master's degree in fill in the blank for me.
Yeah, it's in mental health with the concentration in school counseling.
Nice. Okay, very good. Very, very good. Awesome. So what do you think have been some of your biggest wins?
Oh, I think just based on how we are placed in the community, it's mostly in the South Side, and it's very... So you can really see all the buildings around our campus. And I think I can really see the impact from our K-4s to 8th grade. So once I see that some of my students are graduating from middle school, I feel like that's when it hits me. Like, maybe I didn't see the results right away. But then I get invited for their 8th grade graduation. And I'm like, whoa, they made it. Like, they really believed in themselves because they knew that there were a group full of people and staff and their family were there to support them. So I feel like that's the main thing that I always kind of like look back to, like, oh, I see that my work is having a positive impact in the community.
And I think you touched on a really, really important part of what we as educators need to realize, and that is that all of those little things, all of them, you know, all of them come together and promote that child into the adult or the, you know, high school student or whatever that is, that we're trying to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just one magic thing that's going to fix everything, is it?
No. And I think we forget that. We're so used to just click a button, you get a result. And in this world, they're kids and they're learning, and it takes a while for them to get used to it. They can start running before they walk. So it's step by step, it's team effort, and you might not see the results right away, which I know it's frustrating sometimes, but it takes time. And then also for the parents, just seeing them change their vocabulary, the way they approach their kids, instead of saying, stop doing that, they say walking feet. And you start seeing all those things, and it takes a lot of time, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me some of the programs or events. You said you do a lot of events and programs. So tell me about some of those.
Yeah. So we have what we call FEN meetings, family engagement events, and FLPs, family learning parties. So we're really trying to make all of these events as simple, practical, enjoyable, and accessible for the families. So this includes, we have these books called peer cards. So we're trying to incorporate those into our parties so we can show the families how to do them. So one of them, for example, is about how to have a conversation with your kid while setting up the table at home. So that's something that you're going to do every single day. And it's very simple. You tell them, these are the questions that you can ask them, like, what color is the food that we're making? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? So just really helping the parents use these skills and practice them here so they can do them at home, and just make them see that it doesn't really take much or money to buy an expensive toy that will help your child work with their motor skills. It's you. It's you who can do it. Just very practical, and you can do it while shopping, while cooking, while cleaning, and it's just very simple. So that's what we try to do with our events. Show them a very specific example and step by step so that then eventually they can do it on their own at home.
So when you have these events, how many participants do you get on average into these events?
We have about 4 buildings. So each building has a variety of different families. We get an average of about, let's say, we have some big events sometimes. For a bigger building, we get probably about 100 families.
Nice.
And we have about 300 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we do get good participation, as well as with reading and just getting parents to read to their child. That's a different way to engage them. So we do get about 100 families for our events just to come and have some fun and enjoy the time with their kids.
What if every student could work with a therapist who brings not just credentials, but years of experience and wisdom to the table? At Lighthouse Therapy, most of our therapists have over 16 years of real-world experience. We don't just fill seats. Instead, we find therapists who've seen it all and know how to help. And every new therapist is paired with a mentor to help them guide them every step of the way. Whether through virtual, hybrid, or in-person delivery, your students are getting services that's thoughtful, experienced, and genuinely human. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more. So here's the question that I know a lot of people are probably thinking right now. Where does the funding come from?
Ooh, yes. So we tend to make it very practical. So usually it's just already the materials that we have on campus,
okay,
and we don't need to make that extra expense. Other times, of course, we are also a Head Start program, so we get a lot of our funding that way too. Grants. You know, as a nonprofit, we try to seek for those grants that give us the money to be able to provide those services for our families, too.
So you fall under the Head Start program and through your school. Is that correct? I'm just trying to make the connections for everybody to understand how this is working. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you face?
Sometimes I feel like in the beginning, too, just that engagement. Communication with the parents, as well as we work with mostly the Hispanic community. So many times our communication is in English, right? That was a long time ago. Like, most of our communication was English. And we started to realize that we need more staff that are bilingual. How can we translate our flyers and everything so that parents are receiving that information? And then also using platforms where we can send messages directly to the parents. So just getting them to engage in different ways and asking them what is the best way that we can approach you, whether that's in person after school, or do we send you a message on what we have Class Dojo? Do we send you an email? So we try to get the best way to communicate with them. And then as well, how can we get them on campus? How can we make an event interesting enough for them to show up and see the benefits as well?
Right. Yeah. Food, right?
That's yeah. We always put like, oh, free snack, or we have appetizers. That's a thing. And prizes too. I feel like raffles and saying like, we're going to be giving away like a book or a gift card, that always gets parents interested as well.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but, you know, even though they know they're coming for their children, it's always nice to walk away with something.
Yeah.
So when you have a large Hispanic population, so you were talking about translating. So are you doing the programs in English and in Spanish? How's that working?
Yeah, our team does an amazing job. We have our family engagement team. So it's probably about 20 to 30 family advocates. And their manager, too. So then I'm also part of that team as the community outreach manager. And then we have our nutrition and then disabilities and mental health. So we all get together. We're providing this positive solution parenting class who can help translate on the spot. So we also have those translation devices where we put it on. We work with the headset in the back, and then we translate on the spot. Our flyers, our information, everything. We tried our best to translate everything that we can for our parents and just make it more accessible for them.
Yeah, very nice. So do you find that the majority of your students are coming to you bilingual, or do you have a lot of English language learners, or just curious about that as well?
Yeah, lots of English language learners. Our program does a great job at having at least one person in the classroom or staff. Usually there's two per classroom, where one of them speaks both languages, so they're bilingual. So that way the student feels comfortable speaking their own language and know that they are being understood, and then also helping them get to learn that English language as well as they are learning the curriculum too.
Yeah, because they're in the United States and everything's in English, so they've got to learn it, right? We live in South Texas. We live in Corpus Christi. And so I am amazed at the people and how they get by. They really do. We have a lot of, obviously, a huge Hispanic population here, amazing people that live here and work here. But there's a lot of them that don't speak anything but Spanish. And I'm not. I don't speak anything but English. So those translators are so amazing. My husband got me one, and you just put them in your ear and they just translate right what they're saying as they're saying it. And if you haven't heard of it, audience, you need to look into it, because it's a game changer. It really is a game changer.
It really is.
And not just for vacation. I've used it on vacation before, but I've also used it in other situations. And being understood is so incredibly important, not just for the kids, but also for the parents. And, and you're not felt, people do not feel like they're heard if they don't feel like you understand them.
Yep.
So kudos to you guys for doing all of that. That's really, really incredible. I have one more question. I always try to ask all of my guests, and I tell you, I say you cannot say I need more money, because everybody needs more money. That is definitely, we know that. We all wish that we had enough money to cover absolutely every idea that we had, and we just don't. So if you could, within the sphere of your influence and the things that you have, miraculously fix one challenge that you have at the school, what would you want to fix? And again, not money, right?
Oh, that's a hard question. I think just finding a way to get the parents to really feel like comfortable to be here and reach out. I think that's always one of our main challenges, just getting them to feel like You can walk in and say, hey, I have this concern, or hey, like, can I do this? Get them to be a leader in our school. I feel like you do have one or two in each building that are like, can I do this? Like, I really want to start a parent committee or something. And just get them to believe in themselves. I feel like that's the number one thing that we work on, just getting parents to really believe in themselves and know that they're capable of so much as parents, and just really take their input and see what it is that they can do here, because they have a big impact not only on their kid but also within the community.
Yeah, and when they hear you and when they learn from you, that flows into their children, right? Yeah. You guys are making an impact that's going to affect a whole generation, and that is just really impressive. So congratulations and keep up the good work. So Anna, where do people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you and your school?
Yeah. So we do have multiple buildings. So it all depends on where your child is starting, whether that's as young as 6 weeks old or to up to like K-5, elementary and middle school. So we do have our UCC page, the website for our schools, where you can get more information on each building based on the services that you're looking for, would be unitedcc.org. So that's where you can go to find more information about our enrollment and then programs, because we not only serve our kids, but also we have like a housing program and human services. So lots of other things that help the entire community.
Awesome. Well, Anna, again, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure to learn about the amazing things that are happening and how you're changing the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share more about what we're doing and also be able to put it out there and see how we can best help everyone.
Yeah. And the Brighter Together podcast is a piece of that. And I'm grateful that we are, because we really are brighter together. So thanks again.
Thank you.